Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us today as we visit with Laura Jull. Laura is an associate professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals. She works out of the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. So we'll be talking with her about tree and shrub damage, a little about pruning, and of course she's always around to answer, happy to answer your gardening questions, especially as it relates to those woody ornamentals. Great to have Mike Crane join me right off the bat, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike, good to see you.
It's always great to be here with you, Larry.
Well, it's nice to have you here during our member drive. And as you listen to Mike and I talk, remember your support is really the foundation of funding for our programs. And in fact, it's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions. And that's why Mike Crane's with me, to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mike, how are we doing?
We're doing well. We had 20 gifts in the last hour. We're looking for 30 gifts this hour. And you know, you mentioned the word encouragement. We do want to encourage people to make their contribution. But you know, our listeners encourage us.
Yeah.
You help us drive forward every day to do great programs on your behalf, to talk to incredible people, whether it's Garden Talk or Central Time or Dr. Zorba, whatever it is. It's all here because of you, and you encourage us. So thank you if you've already given, but how about giving now if you haven't?
You can do it right now, and you will be helping us meet our hourly goals. We have goals. Yesterday, thanks everybody who contributed yesterday during the show. We went over about 20 more than what was expected of
us.
That's terrific. The goals help us stay on track financially. And so now, as you're thinking Garden Talk, this is something I listen to a lot. Maybe I listen every week. It'd be a great time to give. Do it now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, federal and state tax dollars provide an important part of the funding for WPR. A lot of people ask about that when we talk about, well, why do you do the pledge drives? Don't you have that money? Yes. However, it's not enough. We also look for listeners to support it. Voluntary listener support is the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
Yeah, so you really do make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
So if you've never given to WPR, here's what to expect. It's really a short process. It takes just a few minutes, and you answer a few basic questions that you know the answer to, like your name and your address, the amount of your gift, and how you would like to pay for it.
And that's it. You know, I added an extra gift yesterday. And
good
so
for you.
It took me about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That was all it was. You can make that first donation maybe to WPR if you haven't done it before. You'll feel good about it because listener support is such a big part about what makes us happen. And many first-time donors give $10 a month. You could give $120 a month if you wanted to, but $10 a month averages out to $120. The amount is totally up to you, though, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Where do you want to go for your next vacation?
I would go to New York City and see some Broadway shows.
I would go to the UP to ski.
Someplace warm. I would take a friend of mine and we'd just go chill out on the beach.
Give any amount and you could win a $500 travel agency gift card for your next adventure. 5 winners will be drawn. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. Find out all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Make your gift of any amount now to be automatically entered. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. And your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution might be $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate it, and we count on your gift.
You know, we know that you value your time. And, in fact, listening to the radio, you get to do something else while also getting smarter or more informed. So you're clearly being efficient with your time, and we value your time too. So giving to WPR takes just a few minutes. We need your name and your contact information, how much you'd want to give, of course. And, you know, you can do it whether it's on a computer, you can make a phone call, you can do it right on your smartphone. It's really easy to do, and we just need to know that little bit of detail, including how you'd like to pay.
Really quick and easy to do. So take a couple of minutes right now to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 30 people to join us this hour. We're looking for your help. You make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting these programs, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. You don't have to contribute. Just go to WPR.org/drawing for details. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And of course, sustainers, those who are making the ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
Larry, we heard earlier from Dan from Fond du Lac saying, when I was working, WPR was my commuting companion. Now that I am retired, it is my day-long companion. Well, thanks, Dan, for that contribution and the comment as well. We'd love to hear from more of you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Mike will be coming back from time to time to talk with us. I want to switch gears and talk over the phone with Laura Jowell. Laura is an associate professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. And, hey, maybe you need some help with tree or shrub damage. You might have some questions about protecting your plants from winter damage. Love to hear from you. You can give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you, so give a call or shoot us an email. Laura Jowell, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, you know, we've had some miserable cold weather here the last couple of days, and it really did get me to thinking about damage, potential damage to trees and shrubs during the winter months. What kinds of damage are you seeing this winter?
Well, we've had a lot of snow lately. That's one of the things I'm seeing. I know most of the state has quite a bit of snow, especially up north. And what I'm seeing is, especially on evergreens, a lot of snow landed on the plants and maybe bending the plant over from the weight of the snow. And so people are concerned that the plants will be damaged so bad. Actually, if the snow isn't packed down, you can always take a brush, especially after a recent snow, and brush off that excess snow. And the weight will be lifted, and some of those branches will come back upwards. If not, then in the spring, I've seen people take just regular old pantyhose, and on the tree or upright forms of arborvitae, they've actually kind of hide the pantyhose, obviously, in the branches, and then they kind of bring the branches back up, and they tie them in place with pantyhose. However, you don't want it real super tight. You want some flexibility in those stems, and over time, then obviously the pantyhose can be removed.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any pantyhose, unfortunately, but
really?
I'll probably find some. Well, maybe I could. You know, it's not one of those things you go to the neighbors and ask for their pantyhose. Oh, my goodness me. Well, I'll figure something out, but I think that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to use rope or anything else.
No, I understand that. You know, Amanda from Seymour has a question for us. Let's go there and find out what's on Amanda's mind. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have a little cedar tree that the deer are eating this winter. Will they grow back?
Yes, it will. The cedars in particular are one of deer's favorite snack. it's like salad bar for them, and they will nibble it as long as there's still some green material left behind, especially if it's underneath the snow. It has latent buds farther back down, and it will reflush and fill in. But if it's a yearly event, it does weaken the plant quite a bit. And that's where fencing, snow fencing, or some type of wire fencing around the plant will keep deer from getting to it.
Yeah.
Next year.
Boy, they love cedar. That's
mm-hmm.
that's for sure.
Yep.
Good luck, Amanda. Thanks for calling. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Give a call. You know, I was talking with somebody on the show. They had a long driveway, and in the summer, this is a couple years back, in the summer they had planted rows of bushes that lined the road, the driveway. And it was like several hundred feet of driveway.
Wow.
And then winter came. There was quite a bit of snow. And then in the spring, all of them were dead. And something had gotten under the snow and chewed around the bark of every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you just want to cry, sit down and cry,
yeah.
Because it was a very, very expensive proposition for that person.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the shrub. I mean, if there's, you know, some little parts of the stem still remaining that have, you know, buds on it, it could potentially regrow. However, not all species you can do that to. And the ones that sucker, like red twig dogwood, for example, that will come back no problem. It sends up suckers from the root system. But, yeah, I don't know what shrubs they used, but there's quite a few that if that happens, it's going to be a very slow, painful process.
Yeah, those were deader than doornails,
yeah.
Unfortunately. So, you know, and I mean, there were probably, what, voles doing the damage, probably?
Yeah, it could be. Underneath the snow, it could be voles that do, and especially certain species they like. For some reason, prunus or cherries/plums, they like those a lot, as well as a number of other plants. Yeah, and they get in there and they chew and gnaw on the bark, and if it's a complete girdle where it goes all the way around the stem, yeah, that's not good. That's basically they've cut the flow of water and sugars from the top of the plant to the bottom.
They girdled every single one in that one case I was talking about. Marilyn in South Range has something. Let's go there. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. We up in the North Country got a lot of snow early.
Yep.
And therefore, I have a rhododendron that mm-hmm. was covered with snow for a lot of it. But half of it is, the leaves have all been chewed off. It's under the snow because we got so much, but the ends of the plants and all the leaves on one half of it have been eaten. Will it come back?
That is really surprising because with rhododendrons, they'll eat the flower, deer will eat the flower buds, but they generally don't necessarily favor the leaves. With rhododendrons, as you know, they grow very, very slow. And if you have one side of the plant that the leaves have been chewed off, obviously those leaves, is it an evergreen rhododendron?
I'm trying to think of what the name is. It's one hardy for the North Country. It's purple flowers, and it's 35 years old, 40 years old.
Okay. Oh. Does it keep its leaves throughout the whole year?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it is evergreen. All right,
yeah.
With that, you will have buds on the stems that are still there that will break in the spring and grow into the summer. But the leaves that are half chewed off or broken off, those probably won't do very well and will drop. Some of them may stay on, but one of the best things you can do to keep the deer away is put fencing. Just like 5-6 foot tall fencing surrounding the plant in late fall, and you completely surround it, and that way the deer can't get and nibble on the plants.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And do it in the fall.
Late fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, late fall. Yeah. Our guest today, Laura Gell, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals. Great to have her with us today to talk about, among other things, winter injury. And we can visit about other things as well. Pruning comes to mind, too. And Mike Crane joins us as well because it's our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Your support is really an essential piece of funding for the programs that you enjoy on WPR. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs. So this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Mike, have we made any progress here?
We definitely have. We've had 4 gifts come in already this hour. We're still looking for another 26. So that means those of you listening right now, it's a great time to help us out and make sure that you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other shows on the Ideas Network that you count on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, all week long during this 90 minutes, we cover lots of topics. Environment, we look at consumer issues. Certainly, Friday Garden Talk is probably one of our more important, our most popular daytime shows during the week. But we also have Wisconsin authors. We talk about Wisconsin food, and you get a lot of great information from this program, I think. It's great to have Laura with us as an example. And it's possible because of your financial support. So support this program and all the other programs you enjoy with your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
One of the things a lot of people do now, Larry, is they've become sustainers. They're giving monthly gifts, and yeah, you can look at your account and see, oh, yeah, I'm supporting public radio every month, and that's wonderful. And it's easy to do. You can set it up with your bank account or your credit card, and then it continues for as long as you like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without, make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient, flexible, too. Get started right now, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You may not be thinking about T-shirts in February, but the new WPR T-shirt, two-tone design, on a forest-colored tee, soft and stylish, is waiting for you. Where will you show yours off?
To music concerts around town?
While I'm riding my bicycle on my morning commute?
I'd even wear it in winter underneath a flannel shirt. I would wear that shirt everywhere.
You can wear your WPR T-shirt in so many places. Get yours now when you make your gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for the programs you enjoy and rely on, and that's why your support during this winter drive is so, so, so important. Maybe your gift $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
We're looking for 26 more people during the remainder of this hour to meet our goal. The hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So how about making your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. Just takes a couple of minutes to contribute.
We'd love to hear from you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks already. If you've already contributed, if you haven't, now would really be a good time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at your winter injury, maybe to some of your plants in the outdoors with our guest, you know, trees, maybe shrubs. Have you had some winter damage? Are you thinking about doing some pruning? Good time to do it would maybe right now. We'll find out as we visit with Laura Gell, associate professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals, on the show with us. And the number to call for you to join in is 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Laura, Chris and Adams wanted to remind us that using pepper flakes can help deter animals from plants. Now, they don't stick very well unless you...
No, they don't.
But there are some sprays that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and David Drake, the wildlife extension specialist, he would know more specific products. But, yes, there are a number of products on the market that can be used to supposedly keep deer away. The problem is every time it snows or rain, it does wash it off, and you have to reapply. But I think some of the best ways to keep the animals from chomping on your plants is the exclusion, again, using some type of either snow fencing or wire,
put some hardware cloth around it or something?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking of, hardware cloth around the plants, starting at the base, as far down as you can, so, and then put it, wrap it around like a couple stakes that go around your plants. You don't need to do it tightly. You want some of your plant still exposed, obviously, to the sunlight, but you want to put it high enough that the deer can't reach in and eat your plants.
Yeah. Well, let's take another call. Sharon in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I have a question about overgrown arborvitae. I planted them several years ago as a privacy screen, natural screen, and they were fine up until they were about 8 feet tall. They're now about 15 feet tall. I have not trimmed them. I want to know if it's possible to do that, how much to take off, and if the bottom will fill back in because it's become pretty much just wood with no green on it at this point.
Yep.
Okay. What is your goal of the actual hedge? I mean, is it there for privacy? Can you live with it being that tall?
It is there for privacy. I don't need that much height. I mean, ideally, 10, 12 feet would be as much as I need.
Okay. Because if you remove 4 or 5 feet of that growth, that's too much at one time to prune out. And usually we don't like to remove more than 25% of the woody material at one time. The reason why you don't have any leaves at the bottom of the plant probably is due to shading from the top part of the plant. And if it's a shady area in your backyard, it may not fill back in. There are ways of pruning that don't look as drastic as just whacking the top off the plant. And some selective cuts made inside the shrub from the top down will help start to reduce the height of the plant, but I wouldn't do a drastic straight across prune job because it won't look natural, and you could be doing more harm than good if by removing too much at one time.
Yeah. Would she do that now, or would...
It's really cold outside, Larry. Yeah.
But tomorrow and Sunday is going to be a lot warmer.
Yeah. You can. I personally, because the snow is so deep, it's hard to get out there. But you can do it in March, April, going into the spring. That might be a little bit easier to get the ladder out since it's 15 feet tall. I don't want anybody falling off their ladder.
Yeah, stay off the ladder, Sharon, for now. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Terry in Roberts emailed that she's used the Irish Spring bar soap.
Yeah, to keep the deer away.
Yeah, cubed about 1-inch size attached to branches of small apple trees as a deterrent for deer. It seems to work for her.
Yeah, I've heard that working. And another one, and I don't... encourage people to go out in their yards and urinate on the plants, but human urine can be also a deterrent. There's, again, many products, and David Drake, the wildlife specialist at UW-Madison and Extension, he would probably know more about the efficacy of some of these products that are out there. And, again, if it rains or snows heavily, it will wash off.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking back again, and I'm remembering a guy who called and described that he went around and urinated in his backyard. Oh, he said it didn't seem to work very well.
Really?
Well, if it rained after the fact, you know, what's going to happen? So
yeah. And your neighbors might not.
Well, yeah, you probably need a privacy hedge of some sort there. Robin in Portage will give you a chance. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have, kind of a three-part question, actually. First of all, what trees? I have three trees that I'd like to prune, a crabapple, a maple, and a lilac. Tree, not a shrub. And can I trim them this time of the year?
With the maple and what was the other one?
Lilac tree. And the third was, what was the third one?
Crab apple.
Yeah. The crab apple and maple, definitely this time of year you can prune them. In fact, we like the dormant season for pruning. And with the lilac, you can prune now, but the only thing is you are removing flower buds. So you have to kind of determine, are you willing to sacrifice some of the flower buds versus getting in there and getting in there now than waiting until after it's done flowering to prune. I have lilacs at home, and I actually do like to prune in the dormant season only because I can see what I'm doing. There's no leaves there, and I can kind of correct some problems that I might not have seen previously. With lilac trees, you're not going to be cutting them back to the ground. Obviously, it's a tree, and you do need to leave foliage on top. It's not like some of the older lilacs where you're removing a third of the older branches. You don't do that with the tree forms necessarily. Lilac trees itself really don't need a ton of pruning because they're a smaller tree. And how big is your maple?
Oh, the maple's big. But I just want to get the lower branches so I can mow underneath.
Right. Well, if it requires any type of ladder, I would call a certified International Society of Arboriculture, or ISA, certified arborist. And the website to find, and they're all over the state, the Wisconsin Arborist Association has a wonderful website, and they have a link to certified arborist for hire. And what that means is these people have gone through educational sessions. They've been taken a test to see their knowledge level, and if they pass, they get certified, and you have to keep up with continuing education units each year by attending workshops, conferences, or taking reading material and completing a test and handing it in. And these are the people that really know how to prune trees properly. Whenever people want to prune a maple, if it's a big one, I would highly recommend hiring an arborist to do that. It can be very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Robin, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Well, here's Russ from Stoughton with something for us. Hi, Russ.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I had a theory about the earlier comments you made with your people you knew who had their rose bushes die along the driveway. We had a similar experience back in Illinois, and we lived in Naperville, about 25 miles southwest Chicago, and it was the winter of 88, 89, and we had that previous spring in 88 planted a bunch of decorative bushes. I think, I forget the name, they were supposed to turn copper brown in fall, which they did, and we had purchased them from a local garden center, and so heavy snow, cold, a lot of shoveling, a lot of salt. And then following spring in 89, almost all of them were dead. They didn't come back. So we called the garden center. He came out and looked, and he said, oh, terrible location. He said, did you use a lot of salt? I said, yeah, we did. He said, that probably did it. So possibly, you know, your people you mentioned might, he never mentioned molds or voles, but he said salt was was the culprit, you know, rock salt on the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can happen. I mean, the rock salt can definitely, if it's over-applied, it can be, you know, toxic to plants. But if there's any type of chewing or gnawing, then that's due to, you know, if it's at the base of the plant. Rabbits also cause injury, and they can also girdle the trunk of plants by chewing off the bark. I see more vole damage, but some people see more rabbit damage. Rabbits tend to like shrubs, and I remember last year with the snow being so high, I went out into my yard and saw all this chewing midway up, and that was rabbits. But yeah, I know.
Oh,
and then
if it isn't one thing, it's another. And as Russ says, you know, maybe it's a combination of the salt, the rabbits, and the voles. They're all there.
Yeah, it's. They love roses.
Yeah. Thank you, Russ. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's see. We've got Rhianne and Kleiman. Your turn. Hi, Rhianne.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions about weeping pussy willows. We have two of them in our front yard, and I noticed that this year we look like we have a bug infestation, and it looks like lacy leaves, like the leaves almost are turning into lace. And over the fall, we started to get some catkins, but we really didn't get a lot of catkins. And now that it's winter, I'm just wondering if they're going to come back in spring. They look very dormant since we didn't get the catkins. So just wondering about insect infestation. And also, you know, when we don't get catkins, will they come back in spring? We just planted them in spring, by the way, of this previous year. So just over a year or under a year ago.
All right. Rhianne, thank you.
Well, with the weeping pussy willow, when you say catkins, you mean the fuzzy part, correct?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Those are the emerging flowers, actually. They'll flower first, and they first come out, and they're fuzzy, and then they'll start growing. You know, it's kind of a wait and see in the spring to see if that does occur. If it doesn't occur, and it's weeping, the only thing is, you know, usually with the shrub forms of willows, we cut them back. Those are one of the few species that you can actually prune back pretty heavily, and they'll come back. But since it's a weeping, it was probably grafted somewhere along the stem, and if you cut it back, you've lost the weeping form.
Yeah. And wait-and-see attitude. But wait-and-see might be a good thing when you're thinking about your pussy willows, but wait-and-see is not a good thing when you're thinking about the winter member drive. Mike Crane joins us once again. Your support's essential piece of the funding for the show, this show, and all the programs you enjoy. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs. So this drive is your time to take action. You make the program possible when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We'd love to hear from you right now. We've heard from 8 people so far this hour, and with about 20 minutes left, that means we need to hear from a donor a minute to really get to our goal of 30. We'd love to hear from you right now. And thanks if you've already given.
Yeah, and if you haven't, please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
And programs like this, it's really been fun listening to this conversation. I found myself thinking about needing to prune some of my garden way back. I have forsythia that I've learned. They go crazy.
Yeah.
And you have to cut them way back. And so I want to make sure I get that right. This is the kind of place you can come for advice like that. It's all over the Ideas Network. WPR is listener supported. So that means that all the great conversation is made possible by listeners. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you're making this hour possible. Choose an amount that works for you. It takes just a few minutes to make your pledge.
Yeah, just think about what you spend your money for every day. Coffee, lunch out, those kinds of things add up. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
That's right, and I think WPR is part of your routine, right? It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend a little money on it today. How about a dollar a day? That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Bea, thank you very much. Why not go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 right now and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift might be 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. You know, we give suggested amounts, and we encourage you to choose the right amount for you. And maybe you're kind of empirically oriented. You want to kind of count it up. Well, here's a formula you might use. Say you hear things, three things in a day that you're really glad you heard. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to $10 a month. If that math adds up for you, how about making that gift? $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we're moving along a little bit. We still have 19 more contributors to join us this hour and make their contributions. It's great. We've got, 17 minutes? So we're almost on target here. WPR is listener powerful and listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Why it's so important.
And we'd like to get you to make your contribution right now. So here's an incentive. A travel agency gift card will be given away to five lucky winners, $500 to five people to spend on their next travel adventure. And sustainers, by the way, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered. If you're not a sustainer, well, now is the time, right?
Yeah.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Happy to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Laura Jell, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals from the UW-Madison Department of Horticulture. Always great to have her come by. Taking a look at winter injury, we're talking pruning, and a whole bunch more. You can join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Lisa from Lisbon's on the phone, so let's go there. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Larry. I love your show, and I love your support of the Wild Ones, Native Landscaping Company. Or not company, but a nonprofit organization. I'm with the Menominee River Area Chapter, and I just wanted to make a comment about cedar trees. That was a question earlier in the broadcast.
Yeah.
There is the Eastern Red Cedar, which is a Wisconsin native plant that does not get browsed by deer. And it's a great option if you want wind block, privacy block, and, of course, it supports, many birds, insects. So it's a really great, great choice if you're looking for something like that.
Yeah. And now what was the name it again for us? Because I'm sure there's somebody who say, wait a minute, what'd she say?
Right. Anything that's deer resistant is a popular plant. It's Eastern Red Cedar or Juniperus virginiana.
Well, Lisa,
sorry, my Greek isn't that great, but.
Lisa, thank you so much. Laura, what do you think?
It is a native plant. It's very popular with the birds, and the only problem is it can turn kind of an off-color brown in winter,
mm-hmm.
and also not all the cultivars that are available, but also it is an alternate host for cedar apple rust, and if you have crab apples or hawthorns or even apple trees around, the disease can actually spend half of its life cycle on the juniper and half on the alternate host plant. Brian Huddleston, the plant disease diagnostician, gave a talk in my class yesterday on campus, and that was one of the diseases he highlights. On the junipers, they get these big, bright, orange-colored gelatinous galls that form on the tree. They start to ooze the spores in spring, and then after some time, the spores are released and land on the other plants.
Yeah.
Without getting into too much detail, it will not kill it, but some people don't like the coloring of those bright orange galls.
Yeah, once you see them, you never forget them.
yeah. But it is a nice plant, though, if you're looking for a native. They're pretty tough, drought-resistant plants, and for full sun only.
Yeah. And thanks again, Elise. Appreciate your call. We have an email from Tom that his son moved into a new house that had 7 box elder trees removed from the back of the lot. He wants a plant that will give some privacy screen that will have coverage all year. The trees need to be at least 10 to 12 feet and has about 20 feet to cover.
Mm-hmm.
What are you recommending for that?
Well, if it's going to be cover a screen for the full part of the year, I would definitely get an evergreen, something that keeps its leaves throughout the year. And I don't know what his deer pressure is like, but there are lots of cultivars of our native arborvitae, and some are more tall and upright, depending on what maximum height you want. And they do make beautiful screens, but if he does have deer pressure, this would be literally like a salad bar for deer.
Yeah.
They would line up and eat the plants. You can use other species of juniper. The Chinese juniper is a very nice one, nice dark green leaves. And many of the cultivars of upright Chinese junipers are resistant to cedar apple rust. Doesn't mean they're immune, but they generally don't get it.
Yeah.
And those are the main two choices. You can always plant evergreen trees, depending on your soil pH and where you're located in the state. But if you just want something right around 10, 15 feet tall, then I would go with either the juniper or the arborvitae.
Yeah, makes good sense. Well, you could trade in too, 800-642-1234. You teach plant propagation.
I teach woody ID, plant propagation, and a brand new course. I'm going to throw my plug in here, Larry.
Good.
It's called Planting for a Greener World, and it's a seminar-based course. We're already into the semester, but we do allow adult audits for the course to sit in. It meets every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 during spring semester. And I bring in guest speakers to talk about climate change as well as other big policy issues, water, soils, in terms of the soil loss, water conservation, and things are progressing nicely with the winter. I'm glad it's staying cold and not getting way up into the 50s, because those can be very damaging for plants as they come out of dormancy. But the class is seminar-based. It's 2 credits, and I encourage people next year to sign up.
Yeah, why not? How do they do that?
They would go through the UW-Madison, I've never done this myself.
Department of Horticulture?
Well, actually, they would have to register the class, and that's not through the Department of Horticulture.
No.
That's with the registrar on campus. And they can pay a certain amount, and they're able to audit a class.
Yeah, I think that is really a cool idea. I know quite a few people, actually, who have audited a variety of classes. It's always an interesting time for them, and I think it's really well worth it. You have a lot of expertise with vines, too. I don't think have vines even come up yet on the show.
With what?
Vines.
Oh, vines, yes. Yeah, in terms of winter injury or...
Yeah, I wonder what damage they can sustain or, get during wintertime.
Yeah, well, with vines, obviously the weight of snow can pull the vines off of their structure that they're being supported on. Many plants, like clematis, will automatically have some dieback of those shoots each winter. And there's generally 3 types of clematis, pruning types, and they're often sold that way. Pruning type 1 pruning type 2 and pruning type 3. The best for Wisconsin are the pruning type 3, and those are the vines that often die back pretty much, not all the way to the ground, but close.
Yeah.
And you want to prune those back, but leave several buds and nodes behind, and that will break in spring, and your whole vine will grow again. Pruning type 1 generally is very iffy for us here in Wisconsin in terms of it flowering, because they flower in spring versus later into late May into June. Those tend to be better for the Wisconsin climate. Pruning type 2 often blooms heavily in spring and then often blooms again lightly in summer. Those are okay for Wisconsin, but if you're really worried about the hardiness issue, I would go with pruning type 3.
There we go. Laura Jell, our guest today, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. Always great to have her come by and talk with us. And it's always great to have Mike Crane stop by, too, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, because this is our winter member drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount, that makes these discussions possible. Largest source of funding comes from you and friends just like you, so why not support us right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Mike, here we're down 5 minutes to go for this.
Yeah, 15 more people are what we need to meet the goal. That could happen, because we're looking for 30 people total this hour. And in any case, we're looking for you listening right now to make your pledge of support. It's so important, because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, this time is right now here with about 4 minutes to go before the top of the hour. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the things that I just love that happens in people's brains, I know it happens in mine, during any program on the Ideas Network, is it starts you thinking. So you hear about all of the problems people have with their plants being hurt under the snow or whatever. And so I was thinking about rabbits. And then I heard about rabbits. I just love that. In our case, it's the rabbits killing the blueberry trees so much that we, or the bushes, we just gave up because they just love them. And there seem to be a million of them in our neighborhood. Those thoughts happen. They're conversation starters. It's just wonderful to listen to the Ideas Network and WPR. And it's listener supported. That means you and me and everybody that makes a contribution makes WPR possible. So choose an amount that works for you and take a few minutes to make your gift.
I talked myself into it yesterday. I added a gift because I wanted one of those hats. They're really cool and stylish, I might add, WPR hats. It's a knit hat made in the U.S. right here in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. So you can support the programs you value and show all your WPR pride wherever you go. Starts with a gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
And you can give by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all these programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on every one of them.
That's right. It's fun for us inside the radio to look at the statistics. And the average pledge is higher than the $10 a month. So that means a bunch of people give $15 or they give $1 a day. But really, whatever amount is the amount you think is right. Just like Jason said in the announcement we heard a minute ago, That's the amount. So make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and count on every day.
And we're still looking at 15 more gifts to come to us in the next minute or two. And I'm really hoping you'll contribute. If you haven't done it, right now is the time to do it. Make your contribution. We are listener powered and we need your support. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
So you might be wondering, well, how much should I give? We're suggesting amounts like the $20 a month to get that really cool hat with the pom-pom. I love
that
hat. But it really is up to you. $10 a month is something a lot of people feel good about. $15 a month. All of it, whatever you contribute, that's going to help keep you informed and entertained all year long.
You can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the WPR T-shirt. You can get the hat and the T-shirt. And the hat, I think, $10 a month for the T-shirt and $20 a month for the hat. I love that. I don't love the T-shirt as much. I have to say it. Other people love the T-shirt. I'm not that T-shirt guy.
I love it, so.
Well, all right. So here we got an argument going back and forth with us. But there's no arguing about we both agree that you should contribute right now. If you haven't done it, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane for the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Laura Zhao, Associate Professor and Extension Specialist for Woody Ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. So, what questions do you have for Laura about your shrubs or your trees or your vines? Have a pruning question? Give us a call. Number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And Laura, we had Roy from Watertown, or I'm sorry, Roy from Whitewater, says he hangs human hair in bags on trees, and that's really helped keep the deer away for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard that for some people that works, but I've also heard from people that it didn't work. So it's...
Depends on your deer, I guess, or
yeah.
maybe the hair. What kind of hairspray did you use? I don't know, but it does work sometimes, and it's, you know what, it's worth a try for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Veronica in West Alice emailed to say she just moved into a new home with lots of trees and shrubs. What kind of pruning equipment should she get, and do you have suggestions for a how-to book on, you know, how to do it?
Sure. Well, there's a number of sources out there. I do have some fact sheets on pruning shrubs, trees, and evergreens that are on the, actually, they're posted on the UW Horticulture website. Also, the Brian Huddleston, who runs the Plant Disease Diagnostic Lab, he has all the fact sheets posted, including the ones I have on pruning. And that is just search for the University of Wisconsin-Madison Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic. And under fact sheets, click on fact sheets. And there's over 250 fact sheets available. And there are three in particular that I did on pruning. Also, you know, if you have extra time and there is the Master Gardener program that is offered through UW-Madison that is available, that you would have to contact the Wisconsin University of Wisconsin Extension Master Gardener program. And each county, almost all the counties in the state offer some sort of Master Gardener training. It's over a series of weeks, and you do learn many new things about plants and soils and other horticulture topics.
Yeah, it's really a very cool program, and we have lots of master gardeners who listen, especially on Fridays, and oftentimes we'll get a master gardener. If a guest doesn't have an answer, oftentimes a master gardener will call in and say, oh, I know the answer to that, and provide it. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program. Sue in Mequon has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Sue.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My yard has a lot of wooded area, and it's got a lot of prunus in it. Mm-hmm. And over the last year or so, I've noticed that I have the dog poop fungus everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the best way to deal with this?
As Brian Huddleston calls it, poop on a stick.
Yeah.
It's black knot. And it's a disease that is very prone, or I should say the trees that are very prone to it are native prunus trees, or cherry / plum, black cherry, choke cherry, and it's almost an identification feature because they generally have it. You can prune them out, but you need to go at least 6 inches or more past the actual cluster of the gall that forms. It's not really a gall, but I don't know how else better to describe it. And you don't want to cut it right next to it because a lot of times the fungus that causes it can be travel down the stem. So I would go at least 6, if not 8 inches past the location of the black knot. The problem is if you have an entire tree that's full of it, my next door neighbor did. And after a time, they just cut the whole thing down because it looked so bad.
Pruned at the base.
Yeah, basal pruning. And, you know, not all prunus or cherries / plums are susceptible. Unfortunately, our native ones are very susceptible to that black knot.
Hmm.
My stuff is kind of more shrub size, and there's, like, lots of canes. I'm thinking I should just try to chop everything out and put in something different.
Yeah, you could put in something different, absolutely. I would probably stay away from the genus prunus / cherries, plums, only because you never know if you have the disease organism in your yard, it may just re-inoculate another one. And there are lots of interesting shrubs you can plant. I don't know where you are in the state.
Mequon?
Mequon, okay. Well, and Mequon is actually, I call it the banana belt. You have a little bit warmer climate than I do here in Madison area. And there are lots and lots of shrubs you can plant. I like viburnums a lot. Lilacs is another one. Some of our natives, such as St. John's wort and some of the dogwoods. But also, one of my favorites is ninebark, and I know ninebark can get powdery mildew, but they really need to be in full sun, and the purpley forms are just as nice as the non-purpley forms. There's serviceberry. There's so many plants that you can choose from. Just go to your local garden center or nursery when they open in the spring, and
they can
help you out. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Sue. Appreciate the call. Paul in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hello. One of my neighbors has a vine, and I took a picture of it and used one of those apps. I think it's a Virginia creeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a beautiful trumpet-like red flower and long seed-like or bean-like pods. And anyway, I got a couple of them, and I was interested in trying to start them from seed. And I saw something about stratification, and I was wondering exactly how you go about that.
Okay. Virginia creeper doesn't have pods and does not have showy flowers. They do produce little tiny blue fruit that is actually poisonous, but the birds love them. They don't harm the birds. I'm wondering if you have maybe a wisteria. I'm not quite sure what you have. Is there any way of getting a picture to Larry, and I can take a look at it?
Yeah, I did take a picture of the plant was kind of the pods. I don't know if I have it with the flowers, but yeah.
Yeah, well, the pods, that would help tremendously. Because, yeah, Virginia creeper does not produce pods. And I can't really give you stratification advice until I know what the plant is, because every plant's different.
Yeah, they're all. So you could send a photo to WPR.org/Larry, and if we don't get to it today, well, I can get the photo to Laura, and she can help you off air. We can work it that way.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. So photo, WPR.org is the place to send that, if I'm not mistaken. And let's see, ideas at WPR.org. Jane Rotunda is reminding me, hey, you dummy, it's ideas at WPR.org. Now we have it right. Let's go to, we've got an email here from Bill in Oregon. Did I bring this up about pawpaw trees? I don't believe I have yet.
No.
So he planted some pawpaws in a location that he's now found out has alkaline soil. Should he amend the soil? And do you have any other tips for growing pawpaws?
Well, we have pawpaws at the Arboretum here in Madison, and they are beautiful, long leaves during the growing season.
Yeah.
I have yet to try the fruit, because every time I try to go get some fruit, the animals beat me. They do need several plants in order to get good cross-pollination to have fruit. The soil pH at the Arboretum is right around 7, 6.8 to 7, so it's more neutral, and it seems to be doing well. Pawpaws are not the easiest plants to grow. They do require good soil, excellent drainage, and they can sucker profusely. And so you plant one, you're going to have a lot more that is going to come up from the root system. But it's a very lovely tree, though, even if you don't have the fruit. The fall color is spectacular. It's a very bright yellow.
Yep. Very, very pretty. Veronica in West Allis emailed to say that she's just moved into a new home. It's got lots of trees and shrubs. She's wondering about the kind of pruning equipment that she should, you know, just have now for her as a new homeowner here.
Sure.
And any ideas there?
Yeah. The first thing is a pair of hand pruners. And there are different types out there. You can spend a lot of money or you can not spend a lot of money. You get what you pay for. I've got some high-quality pruners that I've used for many, many years, and they're great. And you want to make sure to get the pruners with the bypass-type blades. Think of like a scissor, how the blades cross one another. You don't want to get pruners that have what we call the anvil, A-N-V-I-L type blade, and that is just a blade like a pair of pliers. It just comes down on top of the other blade. It doesn't cut woody stems. Those really shouldn't be used for woody stems. They just smash branches. They don't slice them like you would a regular pair of hand pruners with bypass blades. Other things are loppers. That is a very nice thing to do to get in to clean up some of the farther-reaching twigs on shrubs. A pruning saw is another. It's not a hand saw that you use on carpentry. It's actually called a pruning saw, and they often have a double row of teeth, and those are great for cutting larger branches. Your pruners really don't want to cut stuff that's more than about an inch in diameter with your hand pruners. It would just be too hard to prune anything else. That's where loppers come in, or even a pruning saw. And you always want to prune back to a lateral branch or a lateral bud.
Yeah, I love my loppers. It's so easy to use. And actually, I think it was a gift, too, if I'm not mistaken. I've had it for a long, long time, and I don't remember now, but it really, really comes in handy.
Right.
And from Arborvita emailed to ask if there are any trees that you could plant near her septic tank that would not be a problem to the system.
I do not. In fact, I don't think it's allowed in many situations to plant any trees on top or near septic systems. I don't have a septic system, but I know my neighbors behind me do, and they have to, the only thing they could possibly plant on it are native grasses or perennials. but they can't plant anything woody because those roots can cause some damage to septic fields.
Yeah, and prairie plants are excellent. To use, and so I would certainly look. Anne from Arborvitae, I'd look that way if I were you. Well, always so much fun to have Laura Jull with us. Laura, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. Great to have her and all the guests that we have on Garden Talk. It's so much fun. Fun to have Mike Crane with us, too. He's back to talk with you and with me about the Ideas Network Winter Member Drive. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
That's right. Listener support is the largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. Here's how you get there. You make a pledge or a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've already renewed or making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. Listeners who renew and then the monthly sustainers, really the backbone of WPR.
And you can be too. If you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I was at Garden Expo. I had a chance to give a talk there with a couple of folks, and I sat down for lunch and was just joined by some master gardeners down, and we had a great lunch together and talked, and one of the master gardeners said, you know what is the coolest thing was we get continuing education credits.
I didn't know that.
For listening to Garden Talk.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a great, and it just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice.
We have incredible gardening resource people in our state right here who answer your questions, like Laura's been doing today, whether it's about fruit trees or rabbits or organic gardening, rose bushes, so many other things we've heard today, and each time we hear Garden Talk. So how about applying some organic fertilizer to the program right now by making your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have an exciting drawing for a $500 travel agency gift card. You have five chances to win. You'll be given five chances to win. You don't have to contribute. You can see all the details at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio so often, probably every day, you know how important it is to you. And you want it to be here for you and for the next generation.
They should have access to the same quality news, information, the music, Garden Talk, all those shows that enrich your life day in and day out. And your gift today is a building block for a stable future.
Invest in quality radio for yourself and the next generation. Coming up, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've never given to WPR before. Today you can find out how it feels. It feels really good.
It feels great. It really does feel good to be listening and knowing that you are supporting something you love, something you use and rely on every day. And because the largest source of funding for WPR is listeners like you, you'll know that your donation's really making a difference. So make that first ever gift. How about $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during this drive is so important. I don't care if your gift is $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And it's easy to give to WPR. All we need is a little bit of information, your name, obviously, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution, as Mike said, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. So your support right now makes a big, big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, we can make suggestions about what to give, but everyone should make the gift that works for them. For you, maybe that's a gift of $1 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. You put a value on it, like other things that are important to you. And then make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We say that every dollar makes a difference, and it does. We're asking you to make a contribution that is comfortable for you. Maybe that's $10 a month. A lot of people like to do that and just have it come out of their checking account or their savings account, or they might want to have a credit card. You can do all of that, and it's really easy to do.
Kristen from Baldwin had made a contribution. She said, I was thinking of what makes me happy during the day, and WPR comes to mind. I love listening to Garden Talk and Chapter a Day. It's a highlight of my day, and thank you for being here. Well, Kristen, thank you for being there with us.
We also heard from Crystal from Oshkosh, who among her comments was public radio somehow makes the morning bearable. She's not a morning person. Thank you so much for that contribution. It's great to hear from our listeners. You're the fuel behind public radio, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. We'd like to ask you to get back on the train and make your support right now so that you can provide continuing support to keep WPR going.
It's really a perfect time to renew again, too, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. A nice vote for Garden Talk and all the programs you enjoy.
We'd love to hear from you because you make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we had that added bonus that you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card when you contribute. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, of course, you're automatically entered.
Apparently, making things bearable is a theme. Kevin from Madison says, I listen during college at UW-Madison, and now I commute every day, 30 minutes each way, and WPR is the only way to keep my sanity. Thanks, Kevin. Love to hear from more of you, too, because we are working on a goal that we're a little behind on this hour, 13 more to go toward our goal of 20, and we'd love to hear from you right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are also approaching the end of the hour, so there's another couple of minutes for you to make your contribution. And I hope you'll do it right now. We always have a lot of fun on this show. I think I always learn a lot. I hope you do as well. And if this kind of program is important to you, if it's something you look forward to listening to, why not make that contribution right now? Easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You can set up monthly donations or just have it taken from your bank account or credit card. No matter how you do it, I hope you'll do it right now. Your gift is very, very powerful. It really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you. I'm Larry Mueller.